Hello, everyone. Welcome to another JMC Live. I am Jeremy Camberley, and we have the wonderful Margot Valentine here with us today. Today is going to be another wonderful interview where we're going to get some great insights on Dr. Margot Moore Valentine, PhD. You're going to learn about her life. You're going to learn about what she's doing in ministry and current today and how it affects everyone else across the globe, how it affects people at home, affects people all over the place, because right now we're in an interesting season. And if you look at what's going on in society, you're going to see many interval points that can probably change your life. A little bit about Dr. Margot is that she's a speaker, a motivational speaker in the Kingdom of God, and is the CEO and founder of Margot Moore Valentine Ministries, Inc., where the twin ministries of the prophetic arts and the performing arts come alive. She's the apostle and chief overseer of the House of the Hebrew Prophets International Church Network, the Heartbeat of Antioch, where the prophetic fire of God is made manifest. God officially consecrated, affirmed, and ordained her by the way of the chief apostle, Dr. Donald R. Downing, better known as the Heart Doctor, on March 11th, 2001. You're going to learn so many wonderful things today from Dr. Margot. Her being a seer, a dancer, an author, a writer, an entrepreneur, and an advisor and a leader to many people throughout the faith world. There's so many opportunities here that you're going to be able to see. One being the School of the Prophets, the training manual, 130 pages of prophetic revelation compiled for the purpose of raising up prophets to the nations and for the leaders to establish their own schools. As we continue to learn more about Margot throughout this interview, may your life be forever changed. Her threefold ministry is truly non-conventional, non-denominational, and multicultural. Her radical message of extortion, encouragement, and empowerment alongside her prophetic music and tambourine playing is an impact to the kingdom of God. And I personally believe that Dr. Margot, through her message today, as you learn about her life, her testimony, and where she's going, what is happening in the prophetic, what is happening in the events of this world, that your life too will be changed. Thank you so much, Dr. Margot, for being here today. It is an honor and privilege to be able to spend this time with you. What a blessing and honor it is to be with you today.
Amen. Thank you for that wonderful introduction today, Jeremy. I am just so excited about this time of interview. It's an amazing time that we are in.
Yes. It's an amazing time today, for sure.
For us to even be able to share our testimonies. Mm-hmm. I have encouraged so many people over the years that I have been in ministry. I've been saved. I want to say I really, really, truly gave my heart and my life to Christ. That's been almost 30 years ago when I really, really, really understood what salvation was. I started out in a religion. We were raised Catholic, myself and my brother, when we were very young at the age of 5. And I always had a relationship with God, sort of speak, through religion. I knew he was real. I knew he was there all the while. I knew he was in my life. And I think sometimes people think that God is more like in your imagination. Amen. Mm-hmm. But even as a small child, as I reflect back, having been called into the kingdom, I realized that that calling had been on my life, likely from birth. And so I would always encourage people over the years when I finally gave my life to him to testify to that Jesus Christ, you know, I had a relationship with God, but I did not have a relationship with Christ. I knew about Jesus and everybody loved Jesus because everything they taught us about Jesus was always just beautiful stories that we knew about things that he had done. We really didn't understand the cross probably at all, but we just knew he did something just major, you know, for us. And we were thankful for it. And we knew we were supposed to thank him for that. But I'm not sure we had the full understanding of that. But however, Jesus was just always the one that, you know, you gravitate towards his love, his forgiveness, his kindness, the things that he did for people. You wanted to be like Jesus, even if you didn't understand who he really was. And so I never really knew when I was growing up, I could have a personal relationship, man of God, with him. I had no insight into that whatsoever. I would have conversations with God like I'm having conversation with you, and lots of them over the years. But I didn't have anyone to mentor me or to encourage me or to enlighten me that there was more, and that really he was there on a throne somewhere in the heavenlies, and he did speak to us. Amen. Which is another great story about how God speaks to us, because so many people don't believe God's speaking today, but God is always talking. Matter of fact, I think God loves to talk. I think that's why he made us, so that we could converse with him, because, you know, he loves to talk. And so if anybody's listening, God's always speaking. He's always talking, and he's always saying something. He always says something he wants to say to his creation. But I'm thankful that at that time, when I finally realized that Christ was who he says that he is, and I accepted him and made him Lord and Savior. I want to say that was around, that was in the 90s sometime. I believe when I really gave my entire life to Christ was around 1994, 95 time frame. And I mean, when I tell you I was in, when they say you're all in, and nowadays all in, oh yeah, I was all in, feet, hands, everything was in. I was tired of the world, and something was going off in my spirit telling me that I didn't have a lot more time to be out in the world. And for some of us, as we know, as anyone may be listening to this, especially if you know the Lord yourself, that there are alarms that go off in us. And sometimes we're not even sure what that means. But I was sure my time in the world was up. It was time that I made a decision about my lifestyle and which direction I wanted to go in with the remainder of my life. Like a lot of people before salvation, we had another life. And so I did a lot of rebellious things. I came with a lot of baggage, like a lot of people. My family, I say, was a storybook family when we were growing up. As little kids, we had just what we would call the perfect kind of family situation. And, you know, one day you get up and you realize that what you thought was a perfect situation didn't turn out to be as perfect as you thought. And my parents started having difficulty in their marriage, and it started affecting us, you know, their children. And so at this point, well, let me just back it up just a little bit. Mm-hmm. My parents, my father's from Richmond, Virginia, and my mother's from Washington, D.C. So when my parents got married, they decided to live in Washington. So I'm sorry, live in Richmond for that season. So we grew up basically there. I was born in the district. I'm a native Washingtonian. And once they decided to go to Richmond, my mother had my younger two brothers later on, who both were born there. But during that time, and my father and my mother had gotten together, you know, when I was born, they had fallen on hard times, really hard times. And at that time, I was having difficulty holding down milk. And they were very concerned about that, that whatever they would give me, I would just regurgitate it back up. And so after a while, it became a really big concern. And they said, well, you're going to have to give her some kind of formulated milk, because the other options aren't working. Breast milk wasn't an option and all that. And at that point in time, it was very expensive. And so I remember my mother telling me, she was the one that liked to stash things everywhere. So she would stash money away and coins. She loved 50-cent pieces. I don't know if you remember the original ones, not the ones that they made a little bit smaller later on, but they used to be these really big, shiny coins. And you know, when you're a kid, you think that's $1 million.
Oh yeah, I've seen those.
You know, and it's only 50 cents, but you think you're rich after you have so many of those. So we, you know, my mother, all over the years, we just thought she had it made. We're like, this woman is a millionaire. She's got money stashed everywhere. Well, she just got into the habit of doing that. And it was a blessing that she had, because they were going through so much at that time before my father actually really did, you know, start to make it in the construction business. He was a carpenter by trade, my dad, one of his many businesses. And so my mother says that while my father's at the pharmacist or in the drugstore going to buy my milk, a woman walks over to him and begins to prophesy to him about me, about this child that was sent to be a blessing to him in his life and to our family and all of that. It is such a moving kind of a thing. I don't do it any justice because my mother, even when she tells it, I'm glad I did have a little bit of tissue here today, but if she would tell it, you know, the day that I was ordained into the ministry, she told the church, and we were all just in tears, just overwhelmed by how the Lord knows everything that's going to go on in our lives. And I just, I'm truly humbled because I was such a mess. My life was such a mess. I still couldn't figure out what in the world did God call me for? What was the point? Could he have made a mistake? Was it in my mind? Was I going crazy? You know, literally just looking at my life and some of the things I went through because, you know, as my parents began to separate, I was truly my father's child. It just hurt me so deeply. And, you know, right now I minister to so many young people, but especially young girls, because I understand how they feel and how they turn to the wrong things when they don't have that validation from their fathers, or they don't feel loved, or they don't feel like the little princess that they should feel like, or they don't understand what a role model man of God is to follow, so that hopefully when you become an adult, you will look to that. And, you know, some of that did rub off on me. My father was a very professional person. And to go in another direction, eventually I married a businessman like my father. I didn't think I was thinking he was my father, but he was like my father in the likeness of what I had grown up around and what I thought would be stability, what I thought would be a more perfect situation than my parents had. But one thing I didn't know about Jeremy was about generational curses and how the same spirit of divorce hit my relationship with my ex-husband today. And I begin to think and reflect and think, wow, I remember thinking that when I did that, that that would just never happen to me. I would never allow my life to go into that direction. But I realized that a lot of us, and I pray this helps somebody, that anybody that might be listening today as well that's broken. You know, some of us go into these relationships and we never get the problem resolved. You know, we just mask it and we learn how to live with it. And then we just try to go on, we suppress it. And somehow it comes out, it surfaces somewhere down the road. And, you know, a lot of times, hopefully we don't want it to come peeking out at the wrong times. But then I realized, later on in the relationship, as our relationship began to fail, the Lord came to me one day and he, you know, because there was a lot of things that he had done, a lot of things he'd done wrong, a lot of things he didn't do right by me. But the Lord said, you know, I need you to look at you too, because you contributed to some of that failure as well. And what I realized was that I had not examined my own heart before I had decided to get into that kind of a relationship, which God believes says, and we should all believe, is for life. It's really a lifelong covenant and commitment with someone that prayerfully has the same ideas that you have about life and the direction you want to go in, and prayerfully the same God with the same direction as far as loving God and understanding how relevant he is when it comes to our marriages. And so that broken home and that brokenness and that broken relationship, you know, my father and I, our relationship remained wonderful, but then he didn't have a very good relationship later on with the boys. And they were very heartbroken too. And, you know, men kind of wired different than the girls. We're a little bit more emotional and they're a lot more, you know, prideful and manly, and hurt shows up through us in different ways. So instead of them drawing closer to my dad, they sort of fell mostly away from him, even though they loved him. That relationship also has an effect on their relationships, come on somebody, with their spouse and spouses and several spouses for one of my brothers, because that same spirit wanted to try to penetrate our family. And I'm so thankful that with my baby brother today, you know, him and his wife have been together a long time happily. And we have prayed for that. Please don't let that same spirit, you know, if we all known better and known some things before that, happen to him as well. Because God is so gracious. You know, if we just knew to go to him and just talk to him about what we wanted to do with our lives and so forth, you know, for me, I didn't really try to jump the gun in that area. I really believe God was trying to tell me something, and I misinterpreted what he said about my relationship with my ex-husband, because before I got really good and saved, I had been in a relationship with them long before that. And so, you know, a lot of people in Christ, they want to try to make things right out of a wrong, but he wasn't the right person. Lord have mercy. I wish it never occurred to me, because I had been with that person so long and I wanted to make my life right with Christ, that it didn't occur to me that God wasn't, when he said come out of the sin, he meant come out of the relationship. He wasn't saying marry the man. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was a hard pill to swallow. That was a hard place for a long time, because there are a lot of losses. You know, when you serve the Lord, when you love him with all your heart, and especially if you are called to a leadership position, because leaders are the influence. They're the ones that influence other people and lead other people, as far as the kingdom is concerned, to where they need to be in God. And I had to go and suffer through a lot of things to help other people in their suffering. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people will come to me and then they don't feel so shy, or they don't feel so ashamed that their marriages didn't work out, or that they fell somehow, they reverted backwards and backslid in some capacity. They will always get my love and compassion and encouragement about how God still loves us, but yet we still work towards the mark. You know, we still press, but we're working towards that prize. We're working towards freedom and being released from the bondage and the snares of the fowler, things that the enemy set up for us to destroy us. And he empowers us to take authority over that. So we realize we have more authority in the earth than he really has. But, you know, it takes a while before we learn to love each other, love ourselves, and love the Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul before we realize that we truly are empowered in this life. And I'm so thankful to have met God. Man of God, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think I would be here today to talk to you. I don't think if I were here today, I don't think I would have my right mind. I'm not saying this. I really mean this sincerely. I really believe God had come to me and showed me in a vision. I was walking around in a daze and I looked like I was in some kind of a facility. And I was preaching and I was talking, but it was like I was out of my mind. I was just talking into the air. And there were people in a little booth and they were looking in on me and they said, God, my God, what happened to that woman of God? What actually happened to her? They were just bumfounded, like, we just don't get it. We don't understand. And at that point, somewhere, you know, it's a fine line there in life. You know, during the pandemic, there were so many people, they said, had so many mental attacks. So many people were down, depressed, having suicidal thoughts. We actually had someone in our neighborhood who hung themselves on a tree. And you can actually see them hung outside of my window. I go to the window and I'm praying to God and I'm saying, God, please don't let, I said, what are they doing? They're putting out this policeman, they're everywhere. And they're sort of like very incognito. They're not trying to make a scene. You don't hear a bunch of sirens. You don't see all the fanfare from the police department and the news channels or whatever. They're trying to come into our neighborhood very quietly because they already know people are already in an uproar. They're already panicking. They're already afraid they're going to get sick or they're going to die. It was the most terrible spirit that I've ever experienced, I think, in my existence here. And before I knew it, when I looked out of the window, I couldn't see their face, but I could see their limbs and their body hanging. and they were actually trying to position the, I guess, the plastic or whatever they needed to be able to remove the body from the area and from the tree. And the feeling that I had, I mean, prayer, it was almost like my tongue had gotten tied for all the praying that some of us have done as prayer warriors and people of God. I prayed, but it felt like I wasn't penetrating. I felt like I needed prayer for the first time. I felt like I really needed somebody, come on, to stand in the gaps I had been standing in for so long for so many people, so many ministries, churches, families. I mean, sickness of all kinds. I mean, you couldn't tell me anything. I'm just like, COVID, who cares about you? We come against you and we bind you, whatever. But at that moment, I couldn't catch my breath. I couldn't even imagine what they were going to say to the family to just know that just a few hours ago, that person was right outside our house and right on the corner and right outside our neighbor's house and right out, I mean, literally, and with so many hours, they couldn't find them and didn't know what had happened. And this was happening around the world. Mm-hmm. But this was right in my backyard. Matter of fact, my front yard. I looked right out at the front window. My neighbor next door, I mean, we're all like traumatized because he's like, I've never seen anything. I got up to have my coffee and just sit and meditate and try to understand what we're going through, what's going on. And I go and look out of the window. And this is, he had a much closer view than I did. He could see everything mm-hmm. from his house. So, you know, a testimony, how what we have to go through to really testify to the goodness of God, how he has kept our mind, how that many times I thought about taking my own life. I was a suicidal teenager after all of that with my family and everything. I was so miserable. I couldn't find peace. I couldn't find joy. I didn't know if I had a real friend. I felt abandoned. I felt rejected. Lord have mercy. I mean, when I tell you this is most of the world today have you know, had to go through one of those kinds of experiences and emotionally, and I was just a young girl. And then I'm turning to the wrong things. So I'm experimenting with drugs, with men, with alcohol, with cigarettes. I had a cigarette addiction that was off the chain. I mean, there's no way I should be alive. 20 years, I was just enslaved to this addiction. Mm-hmm. People in addictions that don't think they can get out, but they can. I promise you, they can. They can get out. Yes, they can. And Jesus, this is what I'm telling you about testimonials. Jesus is the only way out because I had tried everything. You name it. They said, look, try chewing gum. Try eating candy. You know, just try cold turkey. Don't do it. You know, I mean, if somebody gave me something to do, I oh my goodness, I listened to cassette tapes that tried to make it psychological that I didn't, you know, have the desire to smoke and all of that. I went through that. I mean, if anybody has suggested something for me to do, this is how badly I want it out, and nothing worked, nothing helped. I think the longest that I was able to quit was a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And if something triggered it back, or if I went through something stressful, or just around people that were engaging, things like this, before you know it, I was right back. I was right back where I started. Mm-hmm. And so when I finally came to God and gave him my heart and gave him my life, I said, look, I said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. And I know this is not for me. I know you said, I'm learning about the Bible now, I'm really learning the word of God. And it's convicting me in every way. Believe me, I don't know how some people can live and not be convicted by the Holy Ghost, but I was very much so convicted. And I said, God, I cannot live like this. And I can't represent you well unless you deliver me. And I'm telling you, sometimes people don't understand. It's not so much just kicking a habit. It's about deliverance. Deliverance. He said, I come to deliver you. He comes to heal us. Amen. Hallelujah. But he also comes to deliver us from things we can't get set free from. And I said, you know what? If anybody can get me delivered, it's Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't get the supernatural somebody lay their hands on me, pour oil on me, pray over me. I didn't get all of that. I did have a one woman of God I went to, and she could see I was desperate for God. And she said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take authority over that spirit of dependency. And I'm going to tell you about dependency. I didn't realize that's what it really was. I was just totally dependent on this product that was giving me a temporary feeling and that was of no real use. It was just killing me on the inside. It didn't make me feel any better except for the few minutes that I was actually doing it. But I traded that for Christ. That's what I did. He said, I want you to become totally dependent on me. Now, this is how my journey really begins. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Because people, be careful what you pray for. Because I'm telling you, I never thought God was going to take me the way I had to go. But let me tell you what. When he said, I want you to become totally dependent on me, I said, okay, well, now I'm going to have to depend on you to deliver me. Because as you can see, I have fought with this demon and I am losing. I cannot kick this thing. It seems to have such a stronghold or chokehold in my life. I can't get free, but I know you can set me free. And God did not do it supernaturally. He said, just don't touch another cigarette. Don't do it. And every single day that I had the desire to do that, I got on my knees. And that's how God developed my intercessory prayer gift. The Amen. Gift he had put in me. Come on, somebody. Because see, God knows how to get us to do what he wants us to do, what he needs for us to do. He got me to get down on my knees and begin to surrender all to him and cry out to him. And he began to teach me how to pray. How to pray my way through an addiction that I had already been long into over 20 or more years at that time, where I could not get free no matter what I had done. And as time began to go on, before I knew it, I no longer had a desire anymore for that addiction.
Amen. Woo,
glory to God. Hallelujah. And now I traded it in for a relationship with Christ. And it started on my knees, and it started in conversation. And yes, there were nights when I cried. There were some nights I slept for days. I just couldn't function. Every time I thought about it, I'm like, I'm not doing it. I went back to sleep. I stayed in the house. I wasn't around. I had to just remove myself from people that were still out doing those things that I needed to get delivered from. And so I had to turn off the phone. And I hope this blesses and helps somebody, because I deal with so many people that are struggling with so many different types of addiction since I've been in ministry. And believe me, it is not an easy thing to overcome, but we are overcomers. Hallelujah. Amen. And we shall overcome anything that we believe God for. He's well able, I promise you he is. It seems hopeless. It seems crazy. It seems like it's just not going to happen or it's not going to work, but I'm living proof that from the moment he said, that was it. Don't ever turn around and go back to it again. Don't ever try. I know it's been at least 25 years now. I've been completely clean of all of it. Matter of fact, the smell and everything drives me bananas. You would never believe that I ever had this addiction, because the way my body responds to it now, you would think that there's no way I had ever smoked. Never. That's how good he is. He will deliver you to the point where you almost don't remember that part of your life. When I think about it, I testify to it all the time, but I can't even remember that Margo. I don't remember her almost. I testify about her, but I'm so removed from that life that it's like we're two totally different people, because you know, one is before Christ, BC, I always say, and one is after Christ. Glory to God, AC. Amen. And clearly you're looking at the after Christ version on today. Amen. So I know what God is able to do. But that dependency cost me everything. I could no longer depend on a job. So my good government contracting job, the Lord comes to me in a dream and tells me on Friday, you and your boss, and I had two bosses. I had a supervisor and a boss at the time over him. He said, but you and your supervisor. And I'm not realizing this at the time that God is telling me this, because I don't have a lot of prophetic revelation. Then I'm still a newbie. I'm still learning the word of God. I'm learning the things of God. I'm not even in the church yet to really give my whole life to the Lord at this point, but I already know God is pulling on me somehow. And he comes to me in a dream and he tells me, shows me everything literally and happened exactly as he showed it to me. But I didn't realize that there was a man of God on our job that had literally been sent by God to come to minister to myself and my boss. Now my boss, sorry, not my boss, my supervisor, he was still a boss. He's my supervisor, to make a distinction for you guys today of the two people. My supervisor was an atheist. He didn't believe in any God. And he certainly didn't believe in the Most High God. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. He didn't know a thing about Jesus Christ, and he didn't want to know a thing about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But then he got pulled in. The Spirit of the living God started to pull on him, and he became curious to know, why was this man so fixated on the fact that there was a God over all creation? And so he ministered to him for months and months and months before this happened, because when the Lord said we were going to lose our job that Friday, we were going through a layoff time. And so this was that weekend, and it happened on Friday, just as God had said, myself and my supervisor. But I didn't realize that the reason why we were being sort of like picked on or pulled out or shut down was because he had come there literally for the two of us to come to Christ. And guess what? It happened right before our layoff. Wow. So his assignment, amen, was accomplished in the two. Now, there was quite a few other people that were interested in the Bible, amen, woo, and all of that. But we didn't understand. I didn't know about being a sent one. I didn't know God used people that way to come up on your job and minister to you. I kept saying, can you teach us the Bible during lunchtime? And he said, sure. So that's what we did. We went and found a room in the building. Nobody knew. It was very discreet, just a handful of us that really wanted to know things about God. We bought our lunch. This is people that's hungering, but don't even know they are. We're bringing our lunch and saying, hey, we just want to hear about the Bible. We want to hear about God. We want to hear about stuff like this. We're not going to church like we should. And my church didn't offer that where I was attending when I was able to, because of the religious part of that. They just, you know, we went through call and response and ritualism and all that in the church, but we didn't have to bring a Bible. I didn't even know I needed one. And so it was amazing to hear the passages and the scriptures, how they were coming alive and how we wanted more. The more he fed us, the more we wanted to eat. And so, you know, at that point, the enemy was like, I'm shutting all of this down, because people in the workplace were getting saved. Others were coming, wanted to do Bible study. It was just sort of like, you know, sort of like evolving into something that was a threat to that organization and all of that. And so we got picked out, and, you know, he came to me, my supervisor, a few days before, and he came outside and he looked at me and he said, Margo, he said, why do I think you know whether or not we're going to get laid off this week? And so it stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, God was talking to him and God was talking to me. Wasn't anybody else getting anything, but because he came and had targeted just the two of us, and we were the ones responding, we were the ones that really, really wanted to know about God and what he was using this man to try to relate to us. He came to me one day, his name was Ken, and he said, Margo, I want you to pray for your supervisor, because I'm going to make one last proposition. He was going through so much warfare in his life and everything. It was driving his family crazy, everything. He said the enemy really did not want this man to conform to Christ and to convert his life over to the Lord. And he was really going through a lot. He said, but I've got one more thing the Lord said I need to do. And what he did is he went to him and he said, if you read the Bible, he said, I'm going to just give you a Bible. Just read it as you have time on your, you know, you already know some of it, but go ahead and read all of it. And if you can tell me when you finish that Jesus Christ is not who he says that he is, he says, I won't bother you another day. I won't come to you about the Lord anymore. I won't witness to you anymore. I won't bring it up anymore. That's it. He said, but I really believe that God is saying that when you finish reading this word, you'll be convinced yourself, for yourself, that he is real. Wow. And he got saved.
Amen.
He got saved. Yes, he did.
That's Woo! Good.
He got saved. But the thing is, he was married and his wife was an atheist too. And she thought he had literally had a mental breakdown. She thought something was wrong. He went off. And she said, what did you do to my husband? That sounds crazy. My husband doesn't believe. We don't believe in any of that. How did you convince him of that? That can't be right.
Mm-mm-mm.
It didn't shake him. Didn't shake his faith either. He said, no, I'm 100% sure that God is real. And that Amen. I am saved by his blood. That was a miracle that I witnessed before we were called into the office, just like I saw in the dream. They gave us both our pink slips. Amen. On that Friday that we were being laid off from that job. And I had several dreams. They all came to pass. That was the main thing at that point when I realized that the Lord said to me when I left, when I packed up and left, I was coming down the highway. And he said, you're never going back to corporate America again. You will not be going back there. And I thought that was very odd and strange. I had been working ever since I can remember, 15, 16 year old. We just came up around, my father was nothing but entrepreneurship in his family too. But in our family, because of my dad and all of us, we had work ethics. You know, we worked, we already had career ideas. We were all going to school for something, or, you know, your upbringing or whatever has all this influence about what you're doing. And I was saying, well, wait a minute, what else am I going to do if you're going to tell me I'm not, this is what I trained for, I went to trade for, and I'm going back to school for. And had I gotten or kept that job that they were going to offer me with the clearance I had, I would have never had time to study the word of God. I would have never had a chance to know the Lord the way that I do today. I would never have had that opportunity, because the Lord told me once I came and I open up that word and I begin to hear his voice for myself, I begin to see the rhema word of God illuminated. I begin to see miracle signs and wonders. And I wasn't even a minister at this time. I'm just Sister Margot in the church. And I'm learning the word of God. God began to show me at that time. He says, listen to me, I'm going to do in you, hallelujah, in 3 years, 3.5 years, what it would take 10 years to do. You're going to be like Paul in Arabia. So I'm like, well, what did Paul do in Arabia? I don't know about Paul in Arabia. What was that about? So I had to go back and really try to understand, what was God trying to say to me? He said, look, you're going to be isolated. You're going to be at my disposal. You're going to have to depend on me, because you're not going to have a job. You're not going to have any money. You're not going to have anybody really to rely on. You're going to have to hear from me. Because what I didn't know is he was training me up really to hear his voice so I could do what he called for me to do. But I know if he had told me all that, I would have panicked and said, God, that's crazy. I'm not ready for that. So I said, okay. I just want to please you. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And that's what I did. So I learned the word. Man of God, I lived in the word. It was so isolated that I would tell people, I would try to read a magazine, I couldn't read it. It scrambled everything. If I wanted to pick a secular book off the shelf, I don't care if I flip through it. It looked like jibber jabber. I mean, the Lord will do something so supernatural. He's like, stay focused. I don't want anything else in your spirit right now. I want you to just love the word, learn the word, live the word, eat the word. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's what I did. So it wasn't by chance. All of the things that came after, how I wound up not realizing I was a teacher and a prophetic teacher, which was a lot more intense, more of an intense calling, because you can't really have a prophetic anything without a real relationship with God, where you hear the heartbeat of the Father, where you know what his will is, his plan is, his purpose. What is he really saying to the body of Christ? What is he saying to the nations? What is he saying to the churches? You've got to be able to be in a place to know like you know, not speculate and not give your own opinions or thoughts or be moved by emotions. Hallelujah. And all those kinds of things. So he had to strip me. He stripped me down like Moses. When I tell you, with everything from the crown of my head, anything that wasn't like him had to go. So when he took the one vice, I said, look, just take them all at one time. So they all went. Amen. The only thing that was left was my relationship with my ex-husband, who was boyfriend, like most people at first, then went to fiance, amen, and then to husband. Because at that point, I said, well, whatever God is calling me to do, I need my lifestyle to reflect that. And I need God to be pleased with my lifestyle and what he's doing. So I'm going to trust him in this. But he didn't even at that point really want me to be dependent on a man. Excuse me. And it was a difficult time going through my, trying to balance my relationship with the father, with God, and then with a husband, and then with my responsibilities at the church. And then my husband and I also had our business. I've had three businesses, three businesses we did two of the three together. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. I had my own business part-time, and then him and I had a small business. We were actually working that business for residual, and that business went belly up. It was the actual people that we connected with. It wasn't our fault that happened. And then, of course, we had our own business, and that lasted about 3 or 4 years. And let me tell you something, when it breaks your heart, when your marriage goes, your house that you built, rebuilt basically, goes, amen. My job goes, hallelujah. All the wealth goes. He winded up taking the business, basically, because he had more clients when we got married than I'd help him to establish later on in the marriage, not realizing that that means in a court of law, basically, the way if it's common law, what have you, the clients are his. So the business was gone. All of our possessions were divided pretty much. Everything that was put into that home that we bought was for ministry purposes. So the only thing I left, I said, I felt like Tina Turner. The only thing I said was, you can have it all over. I don't care about any of it. I'm just going to keep my name for ministry sake, because everyone knew me as Margo Moore Valentine. Hallelujah. And believe me, it has not been an easy journey, because I know what people feel like when they start to lose things. You know, we put a lot of stock in possessions and things, but trust me, your peace of mind is way more important than money. Amen. And things. Amen. And I know, you know, we think if we lose something, we can't get it back, or we think that that's all there is, not realizing God can give us so much better and so much more. Amen. Glory to God. If we would just believe on that, and the enemy comes in and he tries to convince us, all is lost. You're never going to recover. You know, nobody's going to ever want you. You know, he just feeds your mind with so many lies and so much discouragement. It's just unreal. And I'm saying, wow, God said, I want to make you an example. I want to make you an example of how you can live depending on me and not have any of those things that the world said you needed to have. And the person, the woman you're looking at on this interview today is looking and feeling and doing better than I was when I had two jobs.
Amen.
And I don't even get a lot of offers. You would think I would get thousands, or I have hundreds of thousands. No, but I'm rich in spirit. I mean, when I tell you our Father really is wealthy, it is a supernatural thing. It's not even something you can explain yourself. I'm trying to explain to people how some of the things that I've acquired have come down through a spiritual pipeline. And you can only tell them so much, because if you get in your logic about it, you're just like, nah, I'm gonna lose you. But you just have to stay in a spiritual place to understand that God works around all these dynamics, and he does not have to come into being or subject to anything to be able to produce what he says. He says, my word, what? Shall not return back. So if God speaks something into our lives, we don't have a clue most of the time how he's gonna manifest. How is that going to be? I know people are asking all the time, God, are you sure they're talking about me? You said that, or even I heard you. I'm sure I did, but there's no way I can possibly see how you can manifest that or how that can come to pass. And I've seen it happen so many times that it tickles me every time I hear or think, hey, don't worry, We all have felt like that in our flesh. I watched God perform so many miracles, people of God, over the years, hallelujah, and not have anything conventional that you would think that I would need to have in order to operate in the way that I have supernaturally. Glory to God. And me, I'm not, they laugh at me all the time. They say, oh, we figure you look like you probably, high maintenance or something. But I'm very, very practical person. I'm very frugal. People would probably find that to be shocking. I learned how to appreciate far more than I did in the world when I have certain things. And when God gives me something, it is a treasure. When I tell you I treasure it, I don't care if it's down to something that's itty bitty to what nobody even care about, think about, or be wondering, why is she going crazy over whatever this is? If God says it's mine, or he's giving something to me, or blessing my life with something, I cherish it. I don't take it for granted. I know he's a wonderful God. He owns everything. He could probably give us any and everything that we could ever ask for, just like any other father would do. If it was within his means, surely as his children, he would want to bless us in every way. But I've never gone to God unless it was something deep in my heart. He says, I will give you the desires. He said, commit thy ways. Amen. Trust in me. if we would just do simple, practical things that the word will tell us, you'd be amazed to know that God is a big God. He will give us things that we like. Oh, God, that's all I had to do is just obey your word. Just live the way you were saying. And it's all for your good. It's for my good. It's for my health, the way I feel about life, the way I feel about myself, how I learn how to forgive myself, how I learn how to love myself, how to learn even how to love again, even learn how to be alone. Ever since I have been divorced, I have been a happily, almost all those years, happily single woman. And that's been about 15 years. If, now I'm not saying it was all easy, but some days that you don't think you can go on in life because of what other people are doing, it has nothing to do with that at all. God can satisfy all of our needs if we would allow him to. He even understands, because he walked this earth. He understands what it feels like to be alone, to be broke, to be broken, to be ridiculed, to be laughed and mocked at, beaten. Come on, treated, and just left for dead, treated badly for no reason. The more he loved people, the more he helped people. Come on, doesn't that sound like us? The more we do for people, the more we love people, the more we try to show them, oh my goodness, how much we care, the more we'll go through persecution, the more they will do things, hallelujah, glory to God, and we're just like, oh, I can't even believe this, amen. And then we don't think we can recover from that, but we can recover from that. God made it so that, hallelujah, that he is a God of recovery. He's like, I know your feelings are hurt. I know your heart is heavy, but hey, I'm Jesus. I'm God. I can come and heal the brokenhearted. He said, I come to set the captive free. I come to break you out of all, just break every yoke off of your life, break you out of all spiritual bondages. Amen. So that you're free like a bird, like an eagle to soar, that your arms and your wings won't ever be clipped. Hallelujah. You can just fly as high as you want to, go as far as you want to, be anybody you want to. Oh, I'm feeling something right now. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo. I mean,
those are the things that make you just want to think you could crawl somewhere and lay there and die. And yet it made me flourish. It made me more insightful. It made me more empowered in the things of God. It made me more hungry for him. It made me more eager to go out and share the gospel. It made me decide to really tell some places of testimony that I hadn't wanted to share in years, because sometimes our testimonies, I mean, it's not like we all, people think because you're crying or you're upset or you get emotional that you're not healed and all of that, but that's not always the case. Sometimes the tears are about how good God is and how he kept you from killing yourself. Come on, amen. When you didn't know any better, you just thought there was no way out and that would have been the way out, and think, look, God wouldn't have gotten the glory out of my life if I had gone through with that. If that would have happened to me, and when I was broken over my family's divorce, amen, and I sat there thinking about taking all those pills, and I even sat there and thought about what it was going to be like for my family to come home and find me hallelujah, gone. I was like happy about it. Like, oh, I want to be out of here. I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even want to be here. I don't even understand what I'm even doing here. And I just, God, I just want to come home and be with you. And God said, no. That was the first time I ever heard God speak to me. I was a teenager, like 16, 17 years old. He said, no, you cannot come home. You cannot come home to be with me. And I was stunned. I was astounded. I was just sitting there. What do you mean? No. You mean I can't come? You mean really? Because that's what I thought the way out was. The way out is go be with God. You'll be happy with him, happier than you are here. You don't need to be here. This is not for you. This is what the enemy will want us all to believe and have us leave here prematurely. And the Lord said, no. He said, because I have a purpose for your life. Amen. The best news you ever want to hear from God. And now I'm just a teenager. I hear the voice of the Lord for the first time in my life. And he said, no, you cannot come home. Wow, I can't come home because I have a purpose. And that gave me life. All my life, I was looking for it. I kept saying, this is not it. This is not it. This is not it. But God told me, you know, they were looking at me really strange because I'm saying this man of God around secular people and people that don't know the Lord and maybe even some church people, but they don't hear God saying anything to them. They say she's really off her rocker, as they would say. Someone said that to me the other day, how they thought I was really off my rocker. Because people was like, I'm not getting, what do you mean God is saying? Well, right after that, I began to have visions. I always had dreams, but I didn't know they were prophetic, but they would happen literally. And I explained how I had those dreams on my job. That was just one facet of dreams that literally came to pass the way that I saw them. But now I'm having visions and they were scaring people. I would have these open visions and things. I could just see every detail, everything. I mean, it was scary to me. And for a long time after a while, because I didn't have anyone to explain to me, why was I able to see those things and all of that? I just said, God, please take it away. I don't want to see anything, especially anything negative or anything bad that's going to happen, because I didn't have a real prayer life at that time. I would pray to God and say, Lord, I hope that doesn't happen. But I didn't know how to intercede. I didn't know how to warn the spirit. I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, or at least I wasn't speaking in other tongues. If I knew I had that gift or whatever, I wasn't speaking that way. And so all I could do was go by logic and say, okay, God, I do know you're there, but this is scaring me. So I really don't like what I'm seeing, and I don't even understand why I'm able to. But after that, what he was trying to relate to me was that I had a spiritual purpose. You know, sometimes we just don't get it. We think it's always about, you know, what we do literally in the earth. But he said, you don't understand, what you have spiritually is so much more valuable and so much more of value to the people that you come in contact with and the people that you minister to and the people that have been a part of your flock and your life and the people that ran into these dark places like I did. And they told me about their losses. And I said, wow, well, let me share with you. I've lost a lot too. I've lost some dear people in my life. I've lost some family members. I've lost some best friends. Amen. Glory to God. And I've lost some people I love so much, even to COVID in the last couple of years. People so, you know, that you love with all your heart and people so unexpected, things unexpected. You know, when I said I do, I thought it was going to be forever like everybody else. I thought I had the ministry, place of ministry I would have for the rest of my life. And, you know, after that, after we lost that facility or that property at that time, I had been sharing space with people ever since. I never let that trouble me. I never did. I said, Lord, you know, Jesus was a lowly servant and he did whatever necessary to reach the people. And no matter what we have to give up, what we have to walk away from, what we have to lose to get souls to see the light of the living God, because the Bible says we're the children of the light. I love those scriptures. I love that it is so powerful. It let us know that our light shines in a dark world. This place is pitch dark. But when we show up somehow with hope, with love, with joy, with the spirit of the Holy Ghost, the spirit of Christ in us, it changes everything. I've watched people, their demeanor changes, people that have been grieved And in sorrow, they have joy. They begin to laugh. They begin to smile. They begin to feel hope. People that are down and can't get up, but all of a sudden they get up, they brush themselves off, and they get back on the horse. And they say, thank you, woman of God. Just that word of encouragement. Thank you. Just when you prayed for me, when I thought I wasn't going to make it through, and now I'm supercharged. I'm ready to go on. I know I can make it now. Yes, I am. One of the children of light. I'm gonna let my light shine. Hallelujah. And we said little light, but it's a big bright light. Amen. Because we serve a big God. Amen. And he's the light of the world. Everything about him, hallelujah, glory to God, is illuminated. And that's how our life should be. Amen. And I can tell you, I made the best decision ever when I went to that altar and got down on my knees and lifted up my holy hands before the Lord that weren't all so clean at one time. And I said, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. He is my King. He is my everything. I have professed that in covenant with God, and I have kept my vow from day one. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Up until this time. Amen. On tonight. And I could just go on and on and on the things that God was able to do because of my yielding. He said, if you be willing and obedient, this is how I received my call. And I said, willing and obedient. He said, Margo, if you be willing and obedient, if you would just yield your members, yield yourself. In other words, I know what you think you're called to do and what you like to be called to do, but I have something else I'm calling you to do. Can you just yield to my will? And the scripture is clear, the word of the Lord. It says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. There is a reward at the end of the tunnel. There is a God that rewards us immensely. And it, like I said, again, it doesn't always have to be in money or wealth or, you know, possessions, but whatever your heart's desire is. Because I'm like this, if we're all wealthy, then there should be no poor among us. If we have all the riches, amen, then we should be able to share it with some other people. We should be able to keep the homeless off of the street. We should not have anybody hungry. Y'all better talk to me today. Amen. There's so much we can do with God will multiply and give us, come on, the abundance, amen, of his giving, because he's so generous. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But our flesh has to die, and it has to be killed. It has to be crucified with Christ. That's where we're in the resurrection season. I'm loving my favorite season the entire year. Crucifixion, just understanding what it means to take up your cross, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. These things we've had to do so that others will be drawn. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw. This is the time of drawing. This is the time testimonies. I prophesied years ago that testimonials, Jeremy, they were going to go throughout the nations, that some people were going to have movies that were going to be as a result of their testimony. Some were going to be on national, but then it would be some that would be just in communities, just saying, look, I was a drug addict just like you. I was, you know, amen, hallelujah, this, that, and the other. I went to jail and I was in prison for 20 years. They're going to be telling testimonies like that. And this is what God did for me while I was in prison. And I know what it feels like for you to have committed these crimes, but God, amen. And people are going to have to be willing to be transparent and be able to pull back the curtain and tell it all. I mean, when God first told me that the story would be in a book, I said, well, it's generations of that. And it showed a pattern, and it showed a pattern of lineage that God was sharing with me about the Moore family, which is my maiden name. And so I said, okay, God is a God of lineage. I didn't think it was so important at first. Excuse me. But then I realized that God wants to make a statement. And sometimes he wants to use our life to be the ones. We might be the sacrifice. Jesus was the sacrifice. Amen. For all of us to come. Amen. Into a place with God where we could see eternity, where otherwise that would not have happened. He said, I'll give my life. I'll be the sacrificial lamb. Well, some of us have to be the sacrifice. Joseph was the sacrifice. He had to be sacrificed so that his whole entire family during the time of famine would not die. Come on, somebody, amen. But they would be able to be provided for, glory to God, a type of Christ, amen. All of these, you know, typology, these types of Christ, of people that become sacrificial. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's not all about the glamour. Amen. It's not about the fanfare. There's so many people chasing platforms and people that are trying to do this and that. The only thing we need to do is hear the Father's voice and go do that. When he opens up a door, he said, no man can shut it. Be ready to go on whatever platform God calls you to. But we don't need to go trying to find them or trying to make something happen. What God has in store for us is going to find us. It's going to chase us. It's going to follow us. It's out looking for us right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Our name is on somebody's lips right now. Somebody's thinking about investing. Somebody's thinking about helping. Somebody's thinking about donating. Come on. Somebody's thinking about serving. We don't know. God knows everything and everybody. We don't even need to know. All we need to do is be prepared. Be ready. Mm-hmm. Be ready, ever ready, when the Lord calls upon us so that we can attract the nations. God said they've got to come together. The scripture says it's time for us to gather. Our gatherings here, I can tell you, has been so phenomenal, and the glory is showing up visibly. God said there would be global glory. I believe him. He wants revival. He wants evangelicals to come out of the woodwork now. It's a season of evangelical anointing and ministry. Because time is of the essence. We don't have the time we thought we had. And all of these things, like, man of God, we were talking about earlier, the things that start coming against us, the things that start working against us, the things are like signs of the times again, like all of this technology is like the enemy is all caught up in the atmosphere and he's doing all kind of crazy things. We've got people just testifying here and there saying, can you pray for me? Because the strangest things are happening, craziest things are happening. Well, to me, I believe they're end time happenings. They're just things, amen, that's just showing us even the more of what we have to look forward to in this time. So we've got to be on point. We've got to be prayed up. We've got to be on fire. We've got to be sold out. Amen. We've got to be ready to testify on a dime. What subject do we need to talk about? Because I know a lot of us have gone through a lot just to be able to speak on the Lord's behalf, just to be able to bring people out of a dead state. You know, during resurrection season, for me, that's the most awesome time. Holy Week is for dead things to rise. Amen. Dead things that you thought you would never see before, dead things that you thought were dead forevermore, things you lost, you never see it come back again, or you just thought, oh, that's lost forever. God can resurrect and breathe life back into a situation at any moment in time. Amen. We thought we couldn't do it again. We'll do it again. And even the more so, man of God, even better than it was that we did it before. And some of you even think you're not going to love again, but God says you're going to love again. Yes, you are. Some of you don't think you can begin again. You might even think you're too old to start over or that it's too late. Amen. Or whatever your ideas about it. But if you go search the scriptures, there wasn't anybody that was too old to do anything. I told my chief apostle his birthday party this week. He's 80 years old. He doesn't look like it. He doesn't sound like it. He's still on the wall for Christ. He's still writing books. He's written 38 books so far on the heart. Most of them are on the heart of man and the heart of God. That's his ministry. The heart.
Amen.
Glory to God. We call him the heart doctor. I said, man of God, as we poured oil over him, preserving his life and believing the scriptures for additional 40 years, I said, Moses didn't do any miracles until he was 40 years old. I mean, 80 years mm-hmm. old. He spent 40 years right on the wilderness, right? When he was 80 is when it was time to go forth. That's when he was just getting started. Some people think it's over and God will be telling you, but you're just getting started. It's only in your mind that you think it's over. It's not over until I say it's over. Hallelujah. Amen. It could be now that God is saying, because there's so many ladder-minded people that don't get it. The scripture said your latter shall be greater than your former. Hallelujah. And some people were thinking, well, it should have happened when I was 20 or when I was 40 or when I was whatever. But it doesn't matter about your natural age. God is spiritually not limited. by anything. He can preserve us to be 1,000 years old if he needs, has need of us, if he wants to. Maybe if we believed him for more, we would see more and we would gain more. I mean, maybe we would have a longer living situation and condition. In my testimony, when I said dependency, I meant dependency. I got to see some sides of God that some people may not ever see because they've always had something tangible to rely on. When there's nothing there, it's like the bottom. You're looking for the bottom of the barrel or something, and there's no bottom to it. You're like, oh, what are we going to do now? Amen. We're going to believe God. And so people would look at me strange, and they're like, what is she talking about? Is she off a rocker again? Is she crazy? What is she saying? We're going to believe God. And the next thing you know, there goes the miracle. There goes the move of God. There goes, because at this point, we learn how to trust him. And we learn how to trust in him no matter where we find ourselves. Because nobody would believe all the testimonials that we have, all the stories and all the war stories, all the battle scars, all the things that we had suffered in our heart, the things that really, really, really broke our heart. And we thought we would never recover. But I'm living proof. He's a heart fixer and a heart mender. And he will make you whole again. And I'm just so excited because I know, I mean, I could probably go on another 2 hours with the whole history, you know, amen. I know we all have our war stories and we all have our testimony of the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can never testify about that enough. He is good and he is who he says that he is. And I'm just so thankful today, man of God, to have been able to just share just some of my heart and some of what God has done. I mean, he's birthed out a lot in me over the years. I want to encourage people that, you know, the spiritual gifts are still alive today. That's been my main preach. And I have been able to raise up people over the years in so many facets of that. And God has been grieved that he said, quench not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to come and endow us with power. And there's so many people in this end time, we need to operate in healing miracles and workings of healing gifts and workings of miracles. Amen. Hallelujah. Gifts of faith. Come on, somebody. Prophecy, discerning the spirits, all these gifts that interpret. Amen. We've got so much word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Come on, people. Hallelujah. And of course, prophecy. They are still alive. They've never left us. Amen. From the time that Jesus was here walking the earth, and they're still here to help us and to bless us and for us to continue to move on. Amen. Hallelujah. And bless others in the ministry and in the anointing of God. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for how he blessed me to be able to raise up so many prophetic people around. Hallelujah. The region. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that. That he's given me material to circulate throughout the world, basically just to restore those gifts of apostle and prophet back to their rightful place, like that of the Antioch church in Acts chapter 13. So when God said, you can't come home, I have a purpose for you. I'm still fulfilling that assignment and I'm still fulfilling that mandate. And I'm so thankful that I heard the voice of God that day. I think often of what my family would have thought of. They would have come home and found me after we had gone through so much already in that kind of a condition that probably literally would have killed my mother, if nobody else. And I'm thinking, wow, we don't even think about the loved ones we leave behind. The enemy convinces us that we don't have a purpose and we don't have a life. But I'm so thankful that whatever God had for me, I claimed it from that day forward to this day right now. So I thank God for this time tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I just don't, I'm just telling you, Lord, I just thank God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! He's a mighty God. He's brought me a mighty long way. Mighty long way. And he's still doing it even today.
Amen. And God has done a lot in your life and has transformed so many people that you've touched too.
It's, oh my gosh. Amazing.
You know, like we were saying before we started this about all the different things that have happened to us and the things that we're seeing where society is going and, you know, what is happening next in this moment for people involved in ministry. it's really eye-opening how many people actually have fallen away and how many people are stepping up, you know, the ordinary people and then other people that have been doing things for a while. It's, you know, it's, I feel this heaviness on my heart right now because there's so much, you know, so many people right now are looking for an answer, looking for hope, trying to come up with solutions. They're trying to do it in social media. They're trying to do it so many different things, you know, like we discussed, I go to the grocery store. What it has the most sales, more people are buying cigarettes, more people are buying the alcohol, more people
are
doing the different things. I have outreaches on different social media sites. Some of them are creating sites and they're like soliciting things and they're trying to ask things. They're trying to get stuff. They're trying, you know, get that money, get that thing, get that fix, whatever. Today coming home, I saw more people on the side of the road with signs asking for help. And you can see off in the woods, they have a little tent and they're sleeping on the side of the road off of the freeway. And so this is not just something happening on TV in another society. This is happening right here, right now, where we're going through. And to have that deliverance, to have that moment in your life where you can clearly say, like Margo has said, and get to this point where you're fully dependent upon God and you can use like, you know, frog, fully relying on God, which some people will use, you know, are you ready to take that jump a frog? Are you ready to go and step out on faith?
Woo.
And that's what we called ourselves on our mission trip. We called ourselves frogs because we're stepping out on faith to go somewhere that we've never been before. And I had an experience where I spoke English and the person heard their native language. Again, when you are in the spirit and you're doing what God has called you to do, things happen that don't make any sense. You know, if it's okay, you need to get in shape, you get in shape. If it's a finance thing, it's a finance thing. You know, the different things that you need will happen. God will open the doors in the situation where things can happen. And that situation can repeat itself. And I use an example like when I joined the military, I had to lose weight. Well, a few years ago, right before the pandemic started, I lost all my weight and I made that goal again. Although the pandemic happened and I stopped working out and I've gained some of it back. Yes. But the point of the matter is when the time is ready and everybody was wondering, why are you working out three times a day? I had no idea the pandemic was coming yet. I wasn't told that yet, but I was prepared. Could I have imagined that I couldn't go to my gym because the door was shut down? I couldn't do the things that I was going to do. I had no idea. Did I have any idea I would be doing more work where I couldn't, you know, do certain things like I was doing that for my own? I had no idea I was going to be sitting in a chair for that many hours. I was prepared. So again, what you're seeing here with Margo's story, it should touch you right now because there's somebody right now, I'm heavy on my heart, that has got to this point of the interview because not everybody watches an interview for a whole hour. They'll watch, they'll fast forward it. They'll listen for the first 5 minutes, or they'll go to the last 10 minutes.
Yes, I know that's right.
Okay, what is it about? You know, they're especially people that are really into like liberal arts and they love like, what is the main idea of the topic? So they'll listen the first 5 minutes, they'll listen the last 5 minutes, and they'll pick, you know, little bits in the moment because based on what somebody does in the screen, you know, somebody's laughing, someone's crying, they'll want to pick different pieces. So if you're in that situation, you're kind of wondering what's happening right now. Well, right now, the message of God to you is that God is speaking to you right now, not just through Margo, not through me, but through everything that is happening in your life right now. There's somebody right now that has something in their heart and their mind, somebody in their life right now that's sick or something's going on, and God wants to speak to you in your moment. Maybe you're the successful supervisor or successful manager or director or executive or analyst or whatever you are. Maybe you're the person in the military and you're in Washington, D.C., and you have actually physically met Margo and you are still involved in your government job.
My God.
And there's a person that knows who Margo knows, who knows me, that still works in the government right now. I guarantee it.
Come on.
and they're doing their review on either Margie or me or somebody else, and they have the ability to watch this video in real time, or they have the ability to watch it later because of wonderful technology capabilities, and they can either do it through whatever means possible they want. And why are we bringing this up right now? Because God is speaking to everyone, whether you're in the U.S. government, or you are in the Chinese government, or you're in the Russian government, or the Mexico government. God is speaking to you right now. It does not matter what country you're in. It does not matter what language you speak.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
And God wants to take care of your people and take care of your society and everything else. But again, what are we doing in our lives? As I've said this on my regular show and with other interviews, what would happen if some leader of every country, let's pick, you know, G8 summit, three leaders in every country in the G8 summit, all the United Nations, three leaders, especially one of the ones that sits on the board, they all got saved and had a moment to say, well, I like to take this moment to talk about what Jesus Christ did for me today. And that's their whole message. So they get their microphone shut off like Bonhoeffer.
Ooh, wow.
Imagine that. Wow. Worst person stand up in the country, and it goes around the room to 12 different countries. They shut the mic off. And it gets so crazy, they shut the whole event off. Okay, we're canceling this. Because the devil's so mad. Oh, whole world would change.
My God, come on. Wow.
So I'm telling you that. So in the prophetic right now, as Miranda had a call last night with your friend Margo, and as I've had some meetings with different people online.
Wow.
What is coming between April, and if anyone who's watched the prophetic show I did a couple of weeks ago about what happened when I put my card into the Kroger kiosk and I was transported, and it was like months and years of what I saw, and that however many minutes it takes to put a debit card into a slot for a chip and slide on the side, let's say 3 minutes. And that 3 minutes, I summarize in a minute and a half, 10 to 15 years of time in multiple countries and multiple languages translated into my English in that moment, seeing what was going to happen in the future with pandemics and with viruses and with war and pestilences and the slavery and the society no longer having any form of any religion, and it was banned at the end. You couldn't be a Muslim, you couldn't be a Christian, you couldn't be a Hindu. It could be a Buddhist, could be a Sikh, could be a Jew.
Oh, shatara boshaya.
And everyone was being forced in this little moment. And there were people that had masks on and some didn't. But this is the last 7 to 3 days that your debit card for your bank was ever going to work.
Woo! Lord have mercy.
The card wouldn't work anymore, okay? The stripe you see here, no longer work no more. The chip on the card, it no longer work no more. And they said, you need to go to this kiosk over here. And there's people that already had it. You just turn to your left, there's a pharmacy. And they were getting scanned on the forehead and on the right hand. They just scanned their hand. There was something in their hand. Like you see this little cyst on my forearm right here? There was something on the top of their hand or the bottom of their hand. And they were scanning it. And they were scanning it off the forehead. At first, I thought it was just a temperature check. No, because people were doing that with their hand to check out for the groceries, and they were leaving.
Wow.
They were getting scanned on the forehead to get their, the pharmacy stuff. But the kiosk in the front over on the right, which is where the bank used to be, is where you could go and get this. You could go and get this chip and this event signed up. And some people were physically getting the chip. Some people were getting some kind of like tattooed like thing. Some people were doing both. And he said 3 to 7 days, you no longer have a bank. And they had a new bank name and they had a new company. There was only two or three companies in the whole world that could do this.
Oh my gosh.
And there were military people there. There were government people there. And it was the end times. And what was strange, I turned over to someone and I thought it was an employee, and it was an angel. It was an angel, and this angel went with me to every place. The only thing different was at every place we went, it wore whatever that culture was wearing, because some people that were there could see that person, but not everybody could, because not everybody could see what we were doing. Only certain people could. So certain angels could correspond with us and certain demons correspond with us. So I wasn't safe. It was like,
wow.
You know, and like when after this moment was done, and like I said, a minute and a half, the end of it, I called somebody else, talked to other people about it, and then eventually I ended up doing that show. And I bring that conversation to you right now because of where we are and the importance of your testimony and what is going to happen next for the rest of this year.
My God,
that is because powerful. There is a stronghold opportunity moment.
Yes.
And on the same point, there's opportunities to break things off that are going to bring in the end of days. And on the other side of the coin, there's something that's going to happen that's going to stop some of it. So there's going to be two different kinds of ministry going on in the rest of this year. A group of ministers that will be stopping things from causing the end of days to continue, while at the same time, there'll be others that will be doing things to cause more to bring us closer to the end. Because God is looking at it in both directions. He's going to hold back some of it based on how we are, and some of it's going to be accelerated based on how we are. And it's going to be almost like a Lot moment. Are you going to turn around? Are you going to turn around and look back?
Woo!
Some of us are going to have a Lot moment. You're going to turn around and look back, turn to a pillar of salt. So we got to focus.
Yeah. We got to
focus in on what's going to happen.
Wow. That is powerful. Mm-hmm. And people are not, oh my goodness, that just, you just took me, you took me way somewhere.
Yep.
Because end time people, well, let me say this. God showed me two, okay, he gave you two scenarios. He gave me two kinds of people in this time. Either they are the end time prophets called to speak about what's coming or to let us know ahead of time or to prepare us, or mm-hmm. those that have end time ministries, meaning their ministries were for this time. Mm-hmm. Two different types of people. So they're going to be getting two different types of downloads from heaven about how we should go about doing certain things and whatever, how what have you. But you know what? Those people, the other set of people that, instead of them propelling into where God is just said to you, where we should be going, he showed me those people want more of the same. They're not really the ones that's going to be able to bring about change. They're going to basically go back to where we were before, and they're going to sort of hang out there. But then there's going to be another group of people, and those are going to be the people, that remnant of people, they're the ones that's going to facilitate what God's perfect will, because one thing you said operatively is we decide. We have to be the ones to project this and set this into motion. And there, I really truly believe that he's showing a lot of prophets this. That group of people, whoever they are, they're going to be the ones to say, okay, well, we are going to move forward. And so since it's based on us, then since if everybody else is not trying to go with us, we're still going to be the ones that's going to propel everyone else to go in this direction.
Exactly,
because inevitable what you saw. That's
because what I saw in this is certain groups, they were you know, holding back the darkness, and so to speak, with their prayers and their fasting and their worship. And then there was another group that were like a SWAT team. They were casting the devils out. But then a larger group would show up, and there's only three casting the devils, and they'd show like a 1 million, and the three were actually. And swallowed whole.
Wow.
They were gone.
Not even able to stay.
So like they were like being killed off. And then no one else was being trained up on how to do certain things. So like I said, that's why there's the two different groups. One's going to keep certain things from happening. So those that have the gifts to cast out the devils and stop all that, because not everyone I've met says they've ever cast the devil off somebody and off a situation. Haven't met, wow. Not everybody's able to say that. Wow. And then there's another group that's going to be like, okay, you know, we're going to pray that God, you know, brings forth, you know, the end. And, you know, we're going to pray that God's going to break open some of these seals. And there's going to be people doing that. And others are going to be like, no, I can't do that. I've asked three different people this, and none of them said, no, I couldn't do that. I couldn't pray to do that.
Oh, my God.
And I said, because it's not for you to do. There's a certain group of people that are going to do that.
Wow. Wow.
For the end to come, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to be praying, oh, God, let's bring the end. Let's break open the seals. Let's break open the doors. You know, let's bring Jesus here right now. Let's have it happen right now. They're going to say that we are a wicked people and we deserve, just like you read in the Old Testament, they're going to say, we are wicked people and we deserve punishment.
Wow.
And someone's going to rise up, just like those in the Old Testament saying, this city, this country, this land is so far gone. God, release. And they're going to have the power to fill in the blank. Release this plague. Wreath this precedence. Do this. And things will happen. And they're not going to be, they probably won't be on social media. They're not going to be on TV.
I know you
They
are.
Might do this
you
in
are.
The
you
smallest.
Are blessing me. You have no idea what you are saying.
They might do this in the smallest of a place. Give you an example. I was homeless at one point.
Come on.
Now, most of the people that are in my life right now were not in my life when I was homeless and have no idea what I prayed and what I did when I met leaders of Houston, Texas, leaders of the U.S. government, and leaders that were future senators, and one of them that was a future vice president. People don't know because they weren't there at that time. So with this stuff happening, though, there's going to be more of those kinds of scenarios. It's not going to be someone who's going to have a banner like me. It's not going to be someone that looks all clean and all this nice stuff. It's going to be somebody that you don't even expect. It might be someone at a homeless shelter. Could be someone that is a CEO. It's going to be a little bit in between. It's going to be different.
Oh, I'm loving it.
You know? And like the bigger commonality for some of it's going to be is they're going to be, as the scenario is that's in the political realm right now that they're discussing, is we're going to, you know, cut them off. We're going to silence them. They won't have the ability to have a platform on the internet. They're not going to be noticed. You know, we're just going to ban them off Twitter, so on and so forth. That is what will be the commonality. And there'll be a group that will probably come in and try and do interviewing and some, you know, media outlet, and they'll go and interview a lot of people and find a way to discount them and discredit them and shut them down if they do have some kind of, you know, organizational structure, and cause everything to just fall apart.
Wow.
But at the same point, on the other side, you're going to see leaders and, you know, different people rise up and do different things. You're going to see the fruits of Margot's labor, the people that she's met and helped, people that had absolutely nothing, and then later in their life, meet them 10, 15 years from now, and something's going to be different. They may not be the next CEO. They may not be, you know, the billionaire, millionaire, but you're going to see the difference of where they were in their lives and what was happening to where they're going next. And things will be transformed. They're not going to be involved in drugs and sex trafficking anymore. They won't be smoking anymore. They won't be drinking anymore.
Yeah,
they won't
on.
Be homeless anymore.
Wow. Come on.
They may not have relationships with their family, but they have created a new family and the family of God. And all those toxic things will be off their lives and will be completely different.
Jesus.
So at this
My
point,
God.
I'm going to ask Dr. Margot to pray for the burden that she has on her heart right now, because I feel that she needs to pray. And I'm not going to be specific because God has already been talking to her for a while on what to pray. So at this moment, Dr. Margaret, will you please pray?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 We exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory Amen. To God. We invite you, Father, hallelujah, to come and engulf this meeting time right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. We cry out for the nations. We cry out of our heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God Amen. For direction prophetically. Hallelujah. How to survive. Amen. And these times, glory to God. I thank you for the illumination. Hallelujah. Amen. Of revelation that's flowing, hallelujah, out of your people, out of the man of God. I thank you for substantiating, glory to God, every single word that he had just brought forth. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. That your glory will be revealed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if these end times, hallelujah, we will be able to survive. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because of our coming together, our unity in the faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. For your people have suffered much persecution. Hallelujah. There's much separation. Hallelujah. Even with church and state. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're still separating the sheep from the goat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And those, amen, that are your remnant, that have your heart. Hallelujah. That are chasing after you, that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Hallelujah. Your word says they shall be filled. Hallelujah. I thank you right now for an overflow. Hallelujah. That you will fill them up. Hallelujah. To the point where their cup will runneth over. Hallelujah. That the anointing will overflow and overtake. Hallelujah. And chase us down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank you right. Glory to God. It's time for our victory also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we have stood fast and stood long. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have believed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have continued to, hallelujah, lift up your hands, your arms. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To lift you up, your name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Who you are to the world, who you are to us. Hallelujah. I thank you for the heart of a testimony. Hallelujah. That cries out as a witness. You said, ye shall be my witnesses. Glory to God. In the earth. And we shall preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go out and preach the gospel. You said in the uttermost, go to the uttermost parts, the uttermost parts. We speak to the uttermost parts, hallelujah, of the world right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hear us, Salamancha, as we send this word, hallelujah, throughout the globe, hallelujah, as it goes to India and as it goes to China, hallelujah, as it goes to Australia, hallelujah, to Africa, Antarctica, glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah, Ukraine, hallelujah, the United States of America, Lord Abasha, the UN, glory to God, the UK, hallelujah, glory to God. Somebody, let us not forget, hallelujah, none of the nations, glory to God, hallelujah, 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 that you will hear us, God, hallelujah, you will receive our cry, hallelujah, glory to God, the intercessors, let them rise up again, hallelujah, hallelujah, get their war gear out, hallelujah, we call the Angel Michael right now, hallelujah, to head up a warfare, hallelujah, down here, glory to God, that will cause us and people of God to be in righteous standing in victory, hallelujah, that they will stand with us, hallelujah, they will back us up, hallelujah, they will fight for us, Habashanda.
Yes, Lord.
There's a mighty warfare because you showed me the war going on, hallelujah, in the heavenlies, not the war going on in the earth, but the one that's going on that battle, hallelujah, in the second heaven that wants to try to stop, hallelujah, the angelic forces for coming to our assistance, hallelujah, and to come and rescue us, hallelujah, out of this pandemic and out of these situations. We thank you for the signs of the times. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. As we proceed on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That you will even cover us concerning our currency. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I pray you will even give the man of God even another part. Hallelujah. To that revelation that you showed him. Because it's going to be, hallelujah, so profound for the time that we are in. We're not coming into it. We're already into it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, Kodabash. That each person that is jointly fit, you said we are a body jointly fit. Everybody has a part to play. Everybody's body part is important, glory to God, and necessary. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, God. We thank you right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For hearing us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Around the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That even this network, hallelujah, even these videos, glory to God, which you have given the man of God, hallelujah, circulate. I decree and declare circulation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All of his efforts, everything you've placed in his heart, everything you've given given him as far as media. I pray that you will even give him the more media ministry of funding. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he can do everything technically needed. Amen. To get the word out. Glory to God. And to get, hallelujah, glory to God, these videos and everything that you have put in his heart. But such a time as this, amen, to go forward in the earth to bless the people of God. And his Mashanda heart to be a blessing. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Will not be hindered. Hallelujah. But do Mashanda. But that you will, oh God, that you will move even greater and even the more on his behalf during this season and during this hour and during this time. Hallelujah. God, and we just thank you in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. That is above every name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we say glory to God and amen tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh God, Mashanda, we just thank you for this time. Hallelujah. Glory to God, Father. Have your way. Amen. And I might say, hallelujah. Have your way in our lives, God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, now
amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Oh, amen. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. God is so good.
May the words of your testimony touch the hearts and minds of everyone that has listened. May these prayers that we provided reach heaven and touch and send forth the Holy Spirit out amongst the nations. And if this message has touched you today, reach out to me or reach out to Margo and let us know how we can pray for you, how we can, you know, direct your life where it may need to go next. Is there someone we need to contact to help you? Is there something we can do to assist you in your walk with God? We are available. Thank you so much, Dr. Margo, for this amazing opportunity.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless you.